Real quick, I just want to go around for characters. I guess we should start off with the person to my right, which is Mia Soulchild. Mm-hmm. For those who weren't here for Session Zero, which is everybody, what is Mia's deal?
Mia was a mechanic, right, at the mill. Mm-hmm. Just fixing broken parts, kind of coasting through life, making some decent money. She's a people watcher, though. She likes to observe things. I like to observe people. So she spends some time in the local tavern, sometimes getting to know people, sometimes just observing, but just kind of getting a feel of who they are so that she knows exactly what to tell them to get them to do what she wants. She's not a manipulator. She just knows what to say to get people to do what she wants. In Session Zero, she met Olivar. Mm-hmm.
And then I want to say within the span of like 3 minutes, started the Prosperity Gospel.
Absolutely.
I want to say, I feel like I'm wrong there, but it happened suspiciously.
It happened really quickly because it was the Zoot Suit that was, he had it. And so she couldn't resist. And it brought back her desire for more. Like, she wanted to be an entertainer. She wanted to try to strike out and do something.
And she's a bard, correct?
Yes. She is a half-elf bard who is 50 years old. So she got a lot of life to live. She wants to make a name for herself.
Gotcha. We move on to our next character, which is Bolas. Dre, where'd that come from? What was your inspiration?
So in the past, I've made characters who really appeal to my interests. So this time I kind of wanted to cut back and try to stay away from all that and keep everything to a very unimpressive start. Mm-hmm. And then let the character build himself out over time.
Like a seed that grows.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so as a result of that, Bolas. Bolas is a human male of Chultan descent in his early 20s. Similar to Kylexi, he also has the locks and it's pretty athletic. Not from any formal training or anything, which is why he's a barbarian in class. He's really adept at holding things down. His whole ideal is he wants things to be stable. Growing up, he was moving around from town to town a lot because of his parents were merchants and everything. So he really wants to step away from that and have something stable.
Gotcha. And Bolas is a barbarian, correct?
Yes.
Gotcha. And I remember you saying, like, his rage is like, it's not the usual, correct?
Right. No, it's not any type of anger or frustration. It's more of a quiet focus, something that pushes him to get whatever task done that he's working on at the time.
Gotcha. We then move to Rennis, the golden boy, the golden mama's boy of the group.
Rennis. Rennis is a... initially, I had no idea what I wanted to do with the character. I was like, make this character, maybe see what's going on. And then as I started, like, really thinking about it, I started wanting to be, like, kind of like a Ted Lasso type, you know, very, very down-to-earth, wisdom-y type character who kind of relies on, like, homespun knowledge and experience to navigate life, because he's not the brightest when it comes to, like, pure intelligence, you know. Mm-hmm. But he has a good heart, and he tries to do the best thing. And I think there is something that, like, people can relate to when you have, like, someone that is dedicating their time and energy to someone else. Mm-hmm. So everyone's done that at some point in time in their life, and I think that that's a very relatable thing, and it also makes it the character easier to approach and easy to understand. And I just kind of wanted to do something that had play with someone who had kind of like golden retriever energy. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the goal I'm trying to get with him eventually. I mean, played up to that. So like he's likable. He's, you know, people like him. They know that he's not the brightest.
Yeah.
But, you know, he has a good heart.
We then move to Kite Lexi, sorry. What class is...
Oh, Rennis is actually a warlock, although he doesn't realize that. But he, that's where the god touch comes in. We'll get to that later.
All right. We then go to Kite Lexi.
All right. So Kite Lexi is an old man now, about 45 years old. And he spent most of his life studying magic and trying to figure out a way to gain eternal life. But he's tried it in a previous life and it didn't really work out for him. And he had to start all over again. And he doesn't remember that life, but it comes in fragments like dreams and stuff like that. But it almost guides him in a way of like he has a knowledge of something he doesn't know. And he also isn't a very prideful person. But he tries to make friends where he can, and he's very helpful, but he tends to ramble to himself. He's always wanting to talk about magic and whatnot, and he can't always find a way to fit in, you know? So he's stuck, and he's trying to figure out his way, but even in the quest for eternal life, he doesn't know if he wants it either, because he's had to start over and do this whole life thing again. And he's struggling with some of those decisions in his new life.
Gotcha. I don't even have to ask. We all know that Kite Lexi's a wizard. Yes. I guess we can go over some of the session zero stuff leading to session one, where it's like during that period, there was like 3 months of in-game time where things happened for your characters that we just sort of talked about. Like for Mia, you and Olivar were basically traveling, not salesmen, traveling preachers.
Revivalists.
Doing revivalist camps at the local areas. You guys even made it up to Gulber City, which is pretty big. That's like
the big top.
Yeah, pretty much. You got a king up there. But basically, you've been around. And how does it feel being the richest person in the group?
I've never been the richest person in the group before.
When you look around, so... I think Kylexi's fresh out of College of Magic.
Yeah.
You're poor by just trade.
Yeah, 10 gold's my name.
Tuition's crazy. Then we go to Rennis, who did work with the Lust Ranger.
Oh, yes.
But then did all that just to pay it back into, like, you know, the house and keeping up amenities and such.
Pay it back to the house. Had to fix himself because he had got grievously injured.
Do you want to expand on that?
So Rennis doesn't know. But
just the part that we all know.
Okay, well then, yeah. Rennis got really badly hurt in session zero, trying to stand up for his fishing with hanging out with John.
Were you guys caught, if I remember correctly, 40 something fish?
40 something
fish. And then a massive
bass. And like a massive bass. And somebody wanted to take all the fish and like the big bass and. And we were like, nah, I was like, nah, it's two of us, just one of you. And he was like, well, I'm one person, but I'm skilled. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And just proceeded to whiff everything.
Yeah, you found out.
And
if I remember correctly, you got cut open like a Walmart paper bag. No, sorry, a Walmart bag that was holding a lot of water. Just yeah, it was slid open.
Just, it was so quick and so almost effortless. So then he had to go to the doctor, which, of course, even in fantasy, the doctor is prohibitively expensive, especially for poor people. So
I don't even remember how much gold they charged. He
was, it was like 20 or 30 gold. Yeah. I was like, I got Electrum, big dog.
And for those who don't know, Electrum is like a hundredth of gold? Because silver is a tenth.
It's and a 50th. It's Electrum 50th? Is a 50th, because okay. Copper would be a hundredth.
Thank you. Which... it's still not much.
No, it's not much at all. Also, Electrum, in my mind, is kind of like the $2 bill of like money. Like it's not enough to be real silver, which everyone's like, oh, silver's pretty, that's a livable wage. And it's not enough, and it's just over copper to be like, well, you're not getting paid copper, at least. You're like, Electrum's always one of those things that if you play these games, you're like,
You're just like, above the poverty line, so you don't qualify for assistance at all.
Well, hey, you got five Electrum. I can't help you. You're rich now. Yeah. You're middle class.
I gave you Electrum, man. You should be okay. What? Really?
What do you mean you can't feed you and your family on Electrum pieces? Be serious.
Anyway, yeah. So,
is it like a back in my day type of talk? Like,
I don't think Electrum's ever been worth anything.
Honestly, I don't even remember why Electrum was created to begin with.
Oh, no.
There was, because they had, I think someone was looking at, I think it came about as something that was in AD&D when, after the original edition, when they printed the second ed, and people were like, we need a coin between copper and silver just to make sense. And it's like, okay, I guess.
As a DM, I just like it because it's so useless. That's the only reason. I Copper seems like a spit in the face, but Electrum, it seems like a joking spit in the face. It's just a little bit more tolerable. If I said that I was paying you guys in copper at the flour mill, that's just, there's a rebellion happening on Tuesday. It's just not violent. It can't happen. It's not worth it.
It's just enough so we don't go ahead and burn this place down. Yeah. That's what it is. It's just enough to be like, nah, I still got to make some money.
Do you remember the lore that I gave you for your traveling revivalist mission with Olivier?
Yeah. We are a hit in a couple of places, but we have a bad reputation in what's that place?
Zendrada.
I don't know what that looks like yet, but it might have been.
This is all above board talk. We can talk liberally here. Zendrada is a weird place for you. When you got there, everyone was very stoic and very, I'd say, off put by a new person being there, especially someone spouting gospel,
gotcha.
Especially prosperity gospel. You got weird looks, and then it's sort of a religion based city. So the head priest over there was immediately outraged that you were even there. So it was just a bad mix.
It was enemy territory. Mm-hmm. We stepped on the wrong corner.
Basically, it was how it ended was he said, just don't come back ever again. He doesn't want to see you or Olivier there ever again.
Luckily, I'm a master of disguise. So,
look at the gods.
If I end up there, then I have a couple of aliases that I can pull out my magic bag, I guess.
Yeah. I've done it a couple of times. It's a fun thing to do. Bolas.
Bolas.
Bolas. A character who's so simple, but still has so much future depth. Again, we can't get too deep into it because of obvious reasons, but Bolas is, I hate to say it, probably one of my favorite characters at the table. Probably like top four characters at the table for me. top four. Mostly just because like it's an easy player character with so many ways to go.
Right.
Like right now that rage is more of a focus thing. What if something happens and it turns into real rage? Oh fuck, it's worse. it's just so much it's such a malleable character. And I like that. I like that a lot.
Right.
Once again, where'd you get the idea from this from?
The idea for
both? It was just keeping it simple, that was it.
Basically. Instead of putting on the interesting stuff in the backstory, let it build over time.
I think it also, since this is a podcast with episodes after episodes, having the listener around for your growth and moments of, you know, various issues, I think that's very valuable. Very nice.
Thank you.
Two claps for Bolas. Good stuff. Let's see. I think I touched every base but Kylexia and the College of Magic. Since you weren't around for Session Zero, most of our stuff happened word of mouth. But basically, could you elaborate on what that was like for Kylexi? When did Kylexi enroll in the College of Magic? Did he do 20 years there alone?
Almost 20.
Almost 20 years there at the Gulper City College of Magic.
Yeah, 17 years.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, you got to keep going back and getting that another doctorate, another doctorate, another doctorate.
That's how they keep you going. Yeah. How much debt would you say that Kyle Lexi has?
Oh, you know, at a certain point, I just stopped getting letters about it.
Well, that's why you stay in school, because it defers it every time.
Exactly. So I'll do I'll go to school for a good 4 years, and then I'll go travel, pick up some knowledge from real world knowledge, and then I'll go back for another 4. And just ended up there 20 years.
I think I might have said it in the episode, but what brought you to Galbraith City?
I think it's just one of my little treks of going out and finding new books, new places of magic and stuff like that, and trying to find, another key or answer to the big question.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because I don't remember if it was canonized that you were following a possibly loose thread.
Yeah.
Of a...
Well, it wasn't canon yet, but still on the table.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I wasn't sure how we're going to introduce that in yet.
Brother, whenever you drop the card, I'm there to back you up.
Okay, cool.
So basically 17 years in magic. You get out at 45.
Mm-hmm.
Is Kylexi looking for eternal life going forward? Or is he going to trek back to the age of 22 and then go for eternal life? Because if he finds eternal life at 80 and he's a decrepit human, is it worth it?
Well, I mean, I guess not. Maybe. Depends on how well he ages, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to start getting into the gym a little bit.
Well, if you start working at the mill.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That'll get you right.
As a sifter, you don't do much. You just make sure it's not rat poop. Maybe you want to be in the field with bowlers. Just maybe.
Okay. You know, I'll start to learn people in town and might be able to help me out a little bit there.
Gotcha. And just real quick, I just want to go around seeing who's everyone's favorite NPC from this episode.
Honestly, my favorite NPC is probably Oliver.
Who's Oliver?
Oliver is the counterpart to Mia Soulchild.
Okay.
That guy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I say the random guy who had the elements, the little blob in his house.
Oh, yeah.
It was just he insisted he didn't know why it was there, and I assume it was not good. My imagination just runs wild there.
No, it's a shame you weren't there. So that homeowner, Oliver.
I probably have to say Arthur.
Arthur Brigham?
Yeah, Arthur Brigham, yeah.
He wasn't here for long because he's got other things to do in this campaign.
I don't agree with his occupation, but he seems like an honest dude.
What's wrong with being the Lust Ranger? What's wrong with being the pervert murderer?
Go ahead, expand on that. It's not for me.
Please tell me what a Lust Ranger is.
A Lust Ranger?
Yeah.
It's an aphrodisiac hunter. Basically, he goes and gets a slime out of clamshells so people can lather on each other before they have sex. Mm. That type of stuff.
Okay. I mean, an honest day's work.
Thank you.
I'm not disagreeing. Just not close.
I don't know. Honest, but it is a day's work, isn't it?
Either way, he's going to a bigger market. So if one of you guys want to be the new Lust Ranger of Marley, it's always on the table.
I think he already passed the mantle on to...
True. You're so right. You're so right.
No. To the perfect person. God-fearing.
Well, we have gods. They got gods of devoted to love and stuff like that. So it's not like...
But who can see Rennis doing that?
Yeah. No. I mean, Kylexi isn't too proud to do it.
He didn't meet Kylexi. I feel like if he did meet Kylexi, he would have passed the torch to Kylexi instead.
You were leather clad. That's, that's some kind of connotation there.
You might get it handed off to you.
You just really needed a mask, and that would have completed that.
I got some extra leather now.
A leather domino mask from the chaps.
From the Gooch chaps.
From the Gooch chaps.
Funny dominatrix wear. Very quickly.
Yeah. And lastly, your favorite NPC?
It's going to have to be Olivar. Although the Lust Ranger runs a close second. Olivar's my guy.
Understandable. He's got big ambitions. Yeah. Did anybody else have anything else they want to say about this episode?
No.
Fantastic. Well, we'll see you guys next time.